We're ready for that.
Heads up.
Let's get started. Welcome, everyone. Our first item of business is citizen comments. So if there's anyone that's here to address the council, please come forward and state your name.
Mayor, I received an email from some constituents who said that they were going to be at City Hall at 7 to make public comment. And so I go back to them and said, we're meeting up here at City Hall here. So at 7 o'clock, they may show up.
Okay.
Perhaps you can open it for public comment.
Will do. Yeah.
Thanks.
Seeing none? Well, next item is approval of the City Council minutes of August 5th. We've all seen the changes. Hang in.
I have one more. This is just a reference. On all of the lists for each of us, it says that these are our issues. And I think it might be helpful to just change the word issues to priorities. I mean, I have a lot of issues, but these are my priorities.
I think that's a good suggestion. My daughter's a counselor, and we gave her a t-shirt for Christmas and said, if you have issues, I have tissues. Yeah, so issues is not a great word.
I have a question. I know that we changed the minutes to reflect. Were they cross-checked with the tape?
No, but they're...
They're not significantly different. It's just a little...
They're not. I mean, I checked...
Right now.
Yeah.
So, in my list of issues, I rewrote a few of them. One was what was characterized in the minutes as an event prioritization discussion, and that's not what I was meaning to say when I talked about it. I meant to talk about an event purpose discussion, the purpose of why we do events, rather than prioritizing one event over another, but rather, why are we doing events and if we're meeting that purpose, so that I don't have that discussion purpose, then prioritization. The second one was about a homeless resource plan. I'm actually more interested in what I call like a homeless resource document. I'm not interested in like voted on plans with priorities and like goals and objectives and tasks. Just these are some things we've done historically and these are some resources available, but it's not combining voted from one document. So I want to clarify that I'm not asking for a plan. And then it was the third one that was part of the character. I reworded some about at the very last one, it was talking about reviewing code to support commercial development. But it was not just to look at land use, and what was written in the notes was to look at land use conflicts, but that was part of it, but that's not the whole of it. So that, it was just kind of rewording a couple of things to make sure they get on the intent of what I was going for.
Yeah. And the one thing that I saw was you said something about how it would be nice to have unique neighborhoods recognized in the city and how identities. But I don't remember you saying you help the city. I thought you were saying you help me as a neighborhood.
In the marketing plan?
Yeah.
That's where I talked about. So it's in the marketing plan idea, was where I talked about the city. And this is one thing I requested being changed, which was the way it was written is that, as though I had said, the city is fragmented into three parts, and I feel like the city is clustered into three parts. So I wanted to change that word. And then the purpose of the marketing plan is to benefit the city, benefit individuals, benefit citizens, attract new residents. I'm fairly certain I would say to benefit the city, and that's the purpose of all the priorities.
Well, that's change I thought I saw. Was it either adding the word simplicity and you talked about different neighborhoods? Benefit the city and the
neighborhood. So it was talked about in two sections, and I kind of combined it in one list.
Just to slow down in your mind, is accurate what you meant?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Okay.
And I don't feel like it's significantly different than what was there, just with some a few minor changes.
I know we should do that, so I just wanted to make sure.
Let me add some explanation too. The minutes are summarized for everybody's comments. Everybody's priorities were shortened for the purpose of the minutes.
Sure.
But you all said more.
Oh,
so,
of course. We just
her changes closely matched the yellow sheets that we took notes on that night.
Yeah.
But they were shortened in the actual minutes. Right?
Let me ask you another question while we're talking about minutes. Do we as staff use AI in generating minutes?
We are starting to use AI. I don't believe we used AI in this set of minutes.
Okay. I have one piece of advice on that. That is, if you are using AI, you should put on every minute or anything that you're preparing with AI a disclaimer. that we, these minutes were generated through the use of AI, but they were verified to be correct by comparing with the original. Otherwise, AI is writing our minutes. And a disclaimer should be on the minutes when you start using those for AI.
Yeah, we're not exclusively using AI.
Okay.
Any other comments, additions on the minutes? Motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of August 5th, 2025, as amended.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Those minutes are approved. Next item is consideration of a police vehicle purchase for the amount of $120,363.
You may have issues, but I have issues. Three of them tonight. They're all cars.
You think we don't know that?
Yeah, I got more issues, but three I want to talk to you about tonight. They're all components of cars. This was part of the adopted budget. But as I think I told the council last year, we have to order these things before the budget is adopted to even get them to process the order. And then we don't even know when they're going to arrive. And so when they arrive, they say, you've got 14 days to pay us. And we've had these two of the three for 30 days now because we tried to explain to them. This still, even though it's approved part of the budget by the council, the specific purchase has to go to the council still. So, this is, it's funded, it's part of the budget, we've already discussed that two of the three vehicles arrived, have arrived, we're expecting the third, so I'm asking your approval to send the invoices to financing the Chevy for final approval. They are $1,000 per vehicle cheaper this year. I know when you're talking $41,000 vehicle, that doesn't seem like a lot, but it does, we can save $3,000.
This is where you say any more questions?
Any more questions?
Thanks. Okay, I'll take entertain a motion for the purchase of these police vehicles.
I'll make a motion. Make a motion to consideration of police vehicle purchases in the amount of $120,363.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second the motion to approve.
Any further discussion? Let's do roll call on this.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Thank you, Chief. Next item is consideration of resolution 2025-35R. A resolution approving the contracts for the installation of a mural at 10 South Main Street with the building owner and mural artist. Sherry?
It's not too long, but it's a little bit longer than the chief's work. Okay, so thank you for entertaining this contract tonight in consideration. We really want to get moving on this mural program. So as part of our budget, you've already allocated $10,000 in this year's budget for the mural program. I want to just give everybody a little bit of a refresher. So this is, on the left side, is an aerial of the park and the property that is going to have the muralist directly across the street, so right here in this red box. Then I superimpose on the left side, the park, so you can kind of see how far away the mural is going to be from the new park improvements. You see it's very close and how much of it, lines up. So next one. Okay, so when we started this as the Arts Committee, this was one of the ideas that we put together. We had had a proposal from the Montanera family to do a mural and to do their father and husband's art on this building that they own. And so I did a little generation of, okay, let's take this picture, put it here, and the Arts Committee looked at this and they liked this one. And then if you go to the next one, Gene and the family like this one a little bit better because the yellow can fade over time. It won't last as long. And so this is the Arts Committee. They really decided that they like this one.
This one has less yellow, but not
This is one less yellow. So in this particular picture, though, because I did it in PowerPoint, and created the shape and then put the picture in it and then distorts the picture, distorts the original art, you can see that the art up in the corner is different than the way it appears on the building. So the next slide, Gene took this and took both of those two pictures and mashed them together, the two different paintings of her father's. And this is the proposal that the Arts Committee has accepted for the mural at this location. And so it puts two of those paintings together and then it looks really good. So we're really excited about that. Next slide. So just so you can see, the way that this will be done is they have a projector. They went out and tested it the other night, a couple weeks ago. And you can see in this picture the drawing board that's going across the street. So they're going to project the image, and then she'll go and block the image in, and then they'll start painting it in the days after that. But I wanted to show you how they're going to get the image up there. And next. Okay, so the trees in Hatch Park. So we had Ruben Woolsey approach the city, and he is Gene Montanaro's partner. They live over on Odell Lane. And he approached the city about the trees that are being felled in the park. And we had talked to him about getting those trees and maybe he could make a piece of art for the park. And so the idea was that he could make a chair that reflected some of David Montanaro's art, because he has a series of chairs that he made that are called, I think they're just chairs, but they're kind of whimsical fun chairs. And so the idea was to make it oversized, and that it would sit in the park and people could climb on it and take their picture on it. You know, the fun pictures where you take with the really big chair and you look really tiny in the chair. And so he made this rendition. If you go to the next slide. So this is his interpretation of one of the pencil drawings that David Montanaro did of a chair. And this is what, with the help of David's widow, Sheila, came up with what the colors should be and kind of tying in the colors into the mural. And so you're not approving this piece of art tonight, but I wanted to show you for context, because I want to know if you're okay with where the committee would like to place it in the park, so that I can engage with the landscape architect and have him make those changes, but I didn't want to make those changes without the council liking it. So if you go to the next one, this shows, so this is a scale model of what the chair would look like. It would be about 8 feet tall. So he scaled it with a person in there, so you can kind of see how tall that would be. And it would be about 6'8" wide. So two or three people could sit on it and have their picture. And the seat will be two feet 10 inches off the ground. So not too high, people won't fall down and get hurt, or kids won't get hurt. Just kind of, that's regular seat height. A little bit bigger, but so their feet will be dangling. But that's the idea. And then the next slide. So this is the location where, in this red circle, where the Arts Committee would like to negotiate with the landscape, or have the landscape architect provide a place for it. So if you look on this, you can see that this landscaping has like three trees there, but the idea would be the chair would face into the park so that when people were taking selfies of themselves, or they were taking their family members' pictures, the mural would be in the background.
Yeah.
And so it would affect the landscaping right there, but we didn't want to put it right on the corner because that's really the, you know, that center promenade. And so we didn't want it to affect that, but we wanted it to be closer to the mural. So if you're okay with that, then we'll start pursuing that. Now he was going to make this out of the fallen trees, but as he got into it, if you want to see how heavy this one is, that is made out of real wood, it's super heavy. And he was really concerned about how the wood would weather over time and the maintenance of that. And so his idea now is to, instead of making it out of the wood from the trees, it would be a sculpture that he would make out of, like frame it up and then they put concrete stuff on it, kind of like stucco, I guess, and then they paint it, he would paint it. But he knows what he's doing as far as the arts. And then, as far as the wood from the trees, he wants to work with the Arts Committee to come up with some ways to incorporate the wood from those trees into other elements in the park that would be like in the pavilion, so they wouldn't be exposed to sunlight necessarily or rain in the weather, so they would last much longer. And another idea that the arts community have is maybe that we could make little tokens, like little hearts that have NSL in them, and we could hand those out at the ribbon cutting or to residents and say something about the trees and how they were made from the trees in Notch Park. So the arts committee is working on some other ways to incorporate those trees into the park. And as far as this chair sculpture, this is, we're not asking you for approval of the chair today. We'll come back with a separate item on that, so it'll have to go into the budget for the park or in some other arts budget, but I just wanted you to have that for context, so you can kind of see how the arts committee is trying to tie in town center art with this public art for them.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're saying that this is, of course, not being for tonight, but is this chair, two things, it is made from the tree.
No, this one is not made from the trees.
Okay. Like,
this is just a scale model.
Okay. And do we have to pay a fee for this chair?
So we are going to negotiate with him the fee for that piece of art, the chair, in exchange for the value of the wood that he's taking in the trees.
Oh.
So I'm trying to, I need to do some more research to figure out what the value of the trees are.
Uh-huh.
And then we can offset that cost. But he also wants to make something else for the park out of those trees.
I see.
All right. Do you have any frame for how expensive it will be to contract for the chair art piece?
The chair art piece, he gave me an estimate, and it was $14,000.
Wow.
And I just don't know how that offsets with the value of the trees.
Why would it offset at all?
Because he asked for those trees.
Oh, he wants to have it. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
He asked for those trees, and then he said, well, maybe we could do a big chair out of it, and then the cost of the value of the trees would offset the cost of the sculpture. But now he's thought about that more, that making it out of the wood probably is not the best thing for the sculpture for the longevity.
So what's he planning to do with the trees?
Well, he's not planning on anything yet, but he's going to work with the arts committee to come up with some other ideas of things that he can do with those trees for the park. Or, like that I just explained, some...
But are we going to have to pay for the tree design that he does when it comes time?
That's what we're negotiating.
What, we're giving him the trees in swap for this, so there's already a quid pro quo.
Yeah, we haven't got that agreement yet.
Right.
He's just done an estimate.
But what I'm wondering is that down the road, will we have more costs associated with the design of the trees?
Yes, if we like what he's proposing.
Pardon?
If we like what he's proposing, then we decide, yeah, that would be great, then there would be additional costs.
Maybe it would be helpful to have a framework that came from the council right now saying $14,000 is expensive to us, or whatever we want to say,
right,
so that as that negotiation is happening,
right,
we don't come back with like a $50,000 bid, and then back here and revisit that.
Well, we're going to have to come back anyway,
sure,
to get this all approved. So.
I mean, because there's no question that there's value, but there's also value for him to have his art exposed on that building and have it adjacent to the park.
Yeah.
So and have his chair tied to that art.
So just to be clear, so Ruben is a sculptor and a woodworker. That's what he does, that woodworking artist, I guess you could say. He's not the artist that came up with the idea for the chairs. That's David Montanaro.
His widow.
David Montanaro lived across the street from the park in the old train station building.
But he's deceased, so he's
deceased, yes. So their family proposed these things to honor his contribution to the artwork.
There you go.
So this sculptor is his daughter's artwork.
Right.
So selling
it is not. He would be showcasing his work as much as
David's work.
Yeah.
Father's work.
Yeah.
In law.
Right. Which I didn't think was neat because they've been a long time residents
in right.
the city.
In the art community.
Real, you know, roots of Northumberland. So I think it is neat that our first art attempts at the city are also local and representative of Northumberland history and Northumberland. Inspired, yes, artists, and raising their family to
put their author's artwork, which I also think is
a value to them.
Yeah. It was such a win-win because we were just looking for anyone that would host the mural, and then they get this value of having their body artwork on their own property, and then a win to us because we were the people.
This just harkens back to 15 years ago, maybe longer, where we had a member that was on the city council for one term. And he was a sculptor. And he thought it'd be great if we had sculptures throughout our city. We thought, oh, that's a great idea. But then it started to be $20,000 or $30,000 for his art that we would buy. And there, to me, that was self-dealing. And we didn't go with it. But I just recall that there is that piece of it, right? Just to be aware of.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea, that maybe we can give some direction that we decided on, ballpark what we feel like the value to the city sculptures would
right.
be, or, yeah. And we've already talked about mural value, we haven't talked.
So as far as overall public art projects, the Arts Committee is working on a list of, I don't want to say, well, priorities, so definitely not issues, priorities. what kind of public art projects they would like to have. They plan to come and make a presentation to the City Council in October with a requested budget and a budget amendment, or and then get some feedback from you. Because the idea was like, okay, if we look at, we want to do these many pieces of art every year, and now we think they're going to cost X number of dollars, but the City Council is only willing to appropriate X amount of dollars divided by two or something, then they would know, okay, we can only do half as much art, or we need to go out and seek philanthropical donations to cover the rest of the art that they would like to put.
Or they donate. That's also an option.
Yeah. Either through donation by the artist or
exactly.
or through other members of the community contributing
yeah.
to
yeah.
purchasing that art. And there's lots of options that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. There are lease programs, that's what Bountiful does. They lease
yeah.
sculptures. There's a big thing in April in St. George where the artists, all of these different sculptures are displayed, and then cities can go down and pick and make deals to lease the art or buy the art for a certain number of years, or it can be a rent to home, so at the end of the 3 years if the community really loves that piece and wants the City Council decides they wanted to keep it, mm-hmm. then they can exercise their option to buy that, and the lease payments go towards the total cost of the art. So they're exploring all of those things.
You just didn't know that you were going to be the art dealer.
I gotta tell you, like, it's super exciting. I think this is one of the coolest things I'm gonna get to do in my career
yeah.
is work on these projects. So
yeah.
I'm super excited.
And for me, this is extremely attractive
yeah.
and funky.
The art committee really felt like this is something that will become known for. The
yeah.
people will want to come to Hatch Park so they can see that funky chair and the
yeah.
mural that goes
yeah,
with it and get their pictures taken with it. And they're just really excited about it. So,
Sherry, I was going to suggest you mention the Davis Mansion.
Yeah.
Slide up now. So.
Yeah, next slide. So this is the recommended budget from the Arts Committee. So we are looking at $3,000 would be the fee towards the artist. We had estimated that the paint would be $1,200. That's just what our estimate was. I talked to Jean yesterday. She is really concerned that that's just a little bit low. She thinks the paint will be about $1,500. So she did ask if I could ask you to increase that $1,200 to $1,500. The anti-graffiti coating, we're pretty solid on what that is, $1,000. A scissor lift or scaffolding is about $2,000, and then it's about $300 to have the building prepped, cleaned. So, and that's not power washing necessarily, because there'll be some damage to the bricks and stuff, but a soft wash just to prepare it for the mural to be put on, which would be an estimated budget of $7,800. So what I did want to just tell you is that the Arts Committee was very thoughtful in what they thought the fee towards the artist should be, but they were also very aware of the budget. and they did feel like this was a little bit low. And so where we have $10,000 in the budget, and we're estimating at $7,800, there is a little bit of wiggle room if you wanted to increase that artist fee. We are going to apply for the Davis Tourism Grant, mural grant. And if we get that, they'll pay for 50% of the mural cost. So we would, if the budget is $7,800, we'll get reimbursed $3,900. If your budget is $10,000, we would get reimbursed $5,000. And then we can apply for a second grant. We can apply for multiple mural grants. They just have to be in separate applications. So if we can get the other owner that we've been talking to about doing a mural, we might be able to do another one this year, or it might have to wait until next year. But that $5,000 or whatever you have left in the budget could be the match for that particular mural. So, as well, if we apply for two of them.
Sherry, can we, assuming there's money in their budget, go get the grant? Is that
true? I think we have a really good chance of getting the grant. I feel really confident in it. I think we have a good, strong project. We have a willing property owner. We have a willing artist. We have the art picked out that's something fun and whimsical and not controversial in any way, I don't think.
If you were a building inspector, you might be affected by this.
Yeah. Go by the buildings that lean.
If you're an engineer.
If you're an engineer, you're like, why is that building? So that is the proposal for those two contracts. So as far as the owner's contract, there wouldn't be any change to that proposal tonight. There were just a couple of the questions that Gene had about the artist contract. One was on that page four, was the, if you go to the next slide, page two. So on page two, it says that the city will rent the scissor lift, and she's really thinking that it would be better to have scaffolding rented instead of a scissor lift because of the topography of the grass right there in front of that building. And so she asked that I put that word back in, put in the option for scaffolding. And on page four, that she could have that budget increase for the paint. And I'm looking at the wrong contract, that's why I'm not finding it. From $1,200 to $1,400. And then she just had a question that I need to ask the city attorney about, or maybe our HR. She was not sure about having to do a W-9, because if the payment's for her as an employee to paint it, or if the payment is for the actual artwork itself, then that makes a difference whether she would have to pay it as income tax. So that's not in the contract that we have to change anything or amend it, but that she just had a question about that. And incidentally, I think what she also told me was that that some of her siblings are going to help her paint her dad's artwork, so they all want to be involved. And that's why the scaffolding will help, because more than one person can be working on it at a time. She really wants to get going on this month, start prepping for this thing so that she can have it done by the end of September and the weather doesn't turn. That's the biggest concern for us, but that's why we brought it to you tonight, because once we have the contracts finalized and approved by the city attorney, who he wrote these contracts, I did not write these, and then with your meetings scheduled, we thought it was a good idea to get it in here in front of you as soon as possible.
So. I've got questions on the scaffolding. Cost-wise, could very well be cheaper.
Yes, so.
Than a scissor lift. But I'm wondering about after hours, how do you keep the kids from climbing and falling off?
I don't have an answer for that.
It's safer than the scissor jack by a long ways.
Well, the scissor lift, you could put it up where it's out of reach.
That is.
Yeah.
Well, the Montaneros do have an individual that is their caretaker for their properties, so, and I know he lives there.
Okay.
So, and it is right across the street from the police station, so hopefully. There's cameras, hopefully we can keep people
We just have to try to put plenty of warning up. You have a duty to warn or make safe, one or the other. Put up warning signs.
Just to say, keep on.
I think it's great to increase the cost of the paint. I think it's fantastic to switch out to scaffolding if you need it. So I completely support that. Also, I love the idea of the chair, and I love the idea of continuing that motif around the city. I don't know if you've talked about it in the community, but it would be, I think, fantastic to have oversized chairs at many spaces in the city, and we can continue a theme of like, come sit with us, stay with us, sit us out, and put them in all of our parks, and then it becomes a activity. Like all the pictures and all the chairs. I love that idea. And that might even be part of the conversation with the second artist, that's the sculptor, of if we were to be multiple throughout the city, what would be the cost for four? Or what would be the cost for two?
We can do a call for other artists to make proposals for oversized chairs for other parks.
Yeah.
And we can receive, we put an RFP out, then we can receive ideas of their art and their proposed costs.
You know, I have to say one thing on this.
Well, maybe that is more competitive.
Art is always undervalued when it's done by the artist in their life. And so what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay a fair price for the artist's work, but we need to come up with something that is also a cost-benefit analysis in a way of us that they benefit. We may actually make somebody famous. We don't know. So there's a lot to it, but I don't want to say we undervalue art, because we don't.
I like the idea, though, kind of going along with last time's thoughts on if we as a council give more directive on finances before the city takes the time to go out and get bids, then we have a better chance of getting things passed quicker.
Yeah.
Then the bids come back already with an improved amount, rather than then they have to go back again and say, oh, we got to cut a lot of things. Maybe we should have a discussion the chair or not, and kind of decide the cost factor, what this is for the city, and what could we maybe put in the budget.
Do you want to do that now?
Is this something that the committee can give us a recommendation?
Yes, we're learning a lot about how much art costs right now, and in October we'll be able to come to you with some better estimates of what fair prices are for the art. But where this is our first piece, we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Two pieces that you can take back is general feedback, which is the council has quoted that $10,000 for one mural seems in our range, that we felt okay with that loosely. So that is one data point that we start building on. And the second is that when we heard $14,000 for one sculpture, there was a little like, oh, that might be. So that starts to put a little bit of boundaries around where it starts to feel comfortable.
And one thing I should say about that bid, I believe that it included the concrete pad in his bid.
Oh.
So I think it's actually a little bit less, because if we're going to do the concrete pad, it can be done in the sidewalks and prep with the park.
Oh.
Yes, I mean, a lot does depend on what $14,000 is. Is it just for the concept, or is it for the execution too? Mm-hmm. And when I heard 14, when I'm thinking about it, for both, I'm like, okay, fine, But I don't know how much it goes
for. That's why we're trying to learn and gather as much data as we can from other cities and how much there are what they're budgeting for and how much it's costing.
Well, to me, a real factor is that it is fun. And they put in X amount of dollars annually, and if it's gone, we're looking at 100% of the cost.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to get before you as soon as possible, so we can get that application in tomorrow.
We may postpone something until the next fiscal year.
Right.
And this one, this $10,000, if you remember, we approved that in the budget. So.
Yeah.
So for tonight, you're just seeking council approval to execute on this year.
Yes.
The chairs for later.
The chairs for later. When you come up with your... And we have plenty of time for that, because the chair doesn't need to be done until the work is done, right? So we have a couple of years to work out all the details on the chair itself. But if we want to get the mural done, we'd like to get the contracts in order as soon as possible.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, well, next item is consideration of resolution 2025-350, a resolution approving the contracts for the installation of a mural, 10 South Main Street, with the building owner and mural artist.
I'd love to make the motion. You need to state the motion. So I move that we do approve that resolution 2025-35 RS, by the mayor.
The
total estimated cost of
$78,000. Thank you. We have a motion. Second. Any further discussion?
I'm on board for this, but do we want to discuss increasing the artist fee, or do you want to just leave it?
I'd love to discuss increasing it since we're here and we can, and I think that would be nice to. Do you have the other division?
You want to amend your motion?
Yeah. Let's maybe pause for 2 seconds and then.
I have not discussed this with Jean, so this was not a request of hers. This was just coming back from the discussions that the art committee had, that they were like unsure of how much to pay an artist for a piece this big. And they did feel like this was a little bit low, but it was obviously still staying within the budget. So they didn't know what the council's feelings would be on it. So that's why I raised the issue.
I also guess I'd say this, we're already kind of mentally thinking this, we're going to do another one and another one. This could lead to a lot more work, and maybe they can come back and say, you know, we were happy to do that first one for that cost, but it was $5 an hour. But we're kind of entering this with the assumption that we're going to do others on the same line as we made the same line.
So we are setting precedent. Could we make the contract the fee conditional upon raising the fee conditional upon the approval of the grant?
Yeah.
Because then if we get that $5,000, or if we get that half, we could go up without a large expense.
The problem with that is that we're applying for a grant based on this much money. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to raise the fee, we have to do it so we get more money on the
50%. Right.
And so I'm being a little bit slow here, but the artist put forward a $3,000.
No, that's the arts committee.
Has the artist heard that amount? Are they okay with that amount?
So as staff, we started, we didn't know how much to put down, and we were trying to estimate it. And so I think we came in with, I want to say we were at $2,000 or $2,500. Yeah, we were at $2,500 is what the staff was recommending. And then the arts committee wanted to bump that up to $3,000. But they still did comment that they felt like that was low, but they weren't sure, so.
There were still under budget. We could go up a little bit and feel like they're still doing everything.
Yeah, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. when you mentioned $5 an hour, we never know, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge undertaking. Yeah.
Next time you're down in Galvin Plaza, the floating meteor thing, that was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
What a show.
And the next time you're in the Supreme Court courtroom, there's a nice mural in oil that looks like a steaming hamburger. And people were so upset about it, they actually had to install draperies into the Supreme Courtroom to close it. So that when you were in session, you didn't have to look at it. But it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars.
All right, so let's bump it up to 5,000. I know it's not an even 10, but it's a nice round number for the artist fee, 5K. Thoughts?
So is that amended the motion there?
Oh yeah, he said we'd still be
I'm not at the point of amending the motion, I'm just talking.
I don't know. I think we should maybe, I think we should maybe make a motion to approve the 7,800. And we'll come back and revisit the idea of what the artists do.
Right.
That will fit within the budget and is acceptable to the artists.
So contractually, I know that you were hoping to get that started tomorrow and we can give you back to start working with that hamstring.
You can always amend a contract.
So we can, she can start working.
Yep.
I think I would oppose us amending the contract.
To raise her fees.
Yeah. Perhaps we could ask her to keep track of the hours that she puts into it, and then if there's money left over that she could approach the council, and then we would have a better idea of how much it takes this, and you guys could,
yeah, then you have metrics.
Could amend the budget too. But we can't put that in the grant request, so we're only going to be able to ask for half of whatever this budget is you approved tonight.
Because that raises the amount of money we can get halfway with the grant.
Right.
Yeah.
And one thing to consider as we set precedence for future opportunities for this artist is the next time we meet, we'll have a grant, and so it is just our budget that we're paying for this, and that might feel a little bit different than we're getting a grant or already pre-approved stuff.
That's right. And in fact, we set it in a way so that there is an expectation on the next one that it's at least $5,000. But it means,
right.
Yeah. I love this group. We've all got this style.
So
we got
does the amendment propose a motion with the amendment that the RSP will be at $4,000 instead of $3,000, leaving a total of $8,800 as a total estimated cost?
We should have done a tougher number so she had to go to
the amendment. Okay, I'll second the
motion.
Any further discussion? Let's do roll call starting with Lisa.
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you, Dan. That's just like sure.
Thank you.
So exciting.
Are you here to address the council on anything? We were expecting someone to come at 7. Here's your chance to, Okay, next item is the City Council discussion of strategic plan goals, tasks, and budget. And I will turn it over to
talk about things that are really important to the six of you. And I was really appreciative to be able to take notes of that, think about those things, and work to sort of organize that material a little bit. And we'll show you some of that tonight as we think about what to do and just how to do it. I just passed out the slides because I want you to kind of follow along. And if you need a binder, if you need one of these, I have an extra one. So let me know, or you can share if you have enough. But we're gonna look at the four strategic plans for the four communities pretty soon. So let's see. Let's go to the next slide. So this is kind of what we want to do tonight, and some of this for me was sort of what comes first, the chicken or the egg, a little bit. I really would love to dive into all of your priorities, but I think as I put this together and thought about it, I think it might be worth spending a little bit of time looking at the four strategic plans and how they're different, because the communities are really different. They have different elements, and some of those things we may want to consider putting into our strategic plan. We're not going to finish that document tonight, but we should be able to make some progress on what parts of these plans do you like? What do you want to be included in your strategic plan? And so I'd like to do that first. Then we'll talk about the priorities, and I did put them in a table which you saw. We've made some minor adjustments since we sent you the material. And let me just say this at the beginning, just so you know how I think of this. It's been our practice as a team, you elected officials and the executive staff, that whenever you've had an issue, even if it's one council member's had an issue, unless the city council has said, we don't want that on the action items, we've really taken everyone's issues and priorities and we've included them in the work program of the city.
I think we've decided not to use the word issues.
Craig, like Craig, I have issues too, so I'm going to try not to say that anymore. But I think that's one of the strengths of our team, is that everyone's concerns and priorities are important, and they're important to everyone else. And so, before we get into the table, I guess I just wanted the council to know that we're going to move towards selecting the priorities that go into the strategic plan. As we do that, and we select those, we're going to also deselect a lot of other ones. But those don't have to be lost. They can be put into the action items, they can be put on work session agendas, they can be studied by the city staff as you direct. They might result in a new program or a new budget amendment or a number of things. And so I guess I wanted to say at the beginning, every single priority that you noted can be included somehow in how the city moves forward. And I don't think, and I believe it was Councilmember Van Langeveld, you asked the question at the end of the last meeting, well, what do I do with my priorities that don't really make it into the plan? And that wasn't exactly how you asked it, but I really thought about that question. And as I put the table together, I thought, you know, there's room for every one of these comments as we move forward. Now, it's in your control if you really think some of these comments aren't warranted or you don't want too much on them. But I just wanted you to know that how we look at it as a staff is that everything that you've said can be included, and we can move forward with all of that. So, okay, I've said that like three different ways. So let's talk about the first plan, And I'm going to open my book just so that I can sort of follow along. But if you go to this tab, this page, that shows the strategic plans, I think it's tab 4, maybe 3 or 4. Let's talk about the structure of some of these plans. In the case of the Kodiak, Alaska plan, which is a small city, it's the smallest city that we looked at, just about 5,400 people in Kodiak, Alaska. You'll notice that they had on their very first page, they had core functions, mission, values, and vision, and priority goals. That's all just on the first page. So, oh yeah, thanks. There's a lot on this first page. And the real, what I found really terrific about all of these plans is that some of these things were highly summarized. And so they're well-written, they're concise, and they're precise, and they really describe issues that are facing the cities. This plan went to a went to just three goal statements. So, and goal A, goal B, and goal C. And if you turn the page and you go to page 2, 3, and 4, you'll see that there's one page for each one of those goals. And underneath the goals, there's focus areas, which I thought was very interesting. You'll see something like that in the other plans, where they kind of, they have this goal. So just if we're using this as an example, I used goal letter C, that's on page 4. The goal is physical health, diversify and grow Kodiak's financial assets. That's not a complicated goal, but it's definitely a specific goal that guides how the city council is going to act as they think about finances, they think about budgets, they think about revenues and expenses. And then under the focus areas, under finance, they quickly move into strategies. And I just thought this was a very simple way to kind of articulate what was most important to that city in that year. And it's my understanding that they do this, they update this every year, but it's kind of a rolling plan that has 2 or 3 years of worth of goals. So a simple idea, the structure and the content is fairly elegant for a small community that probably may not have the depth of bigger communities, but they obviously have some talent there that's helped them or some of them.
And you're gonna staff. Sorry, you're gonna plow through a variety, and then we'll talk about format for you want to talk about each one.
I think we could do whatever you feel most comfortable with. If you want to stop here and talk about what you like about this plan, we can do that right now rather than do all four. They're all similar and they're all different. So
let's plow and then talk.
Okay. Let me see if I have anything else to say on that. I think the other thing I would say on the Kodiak plan, under the strategies for finance. I think that, I wasn't in the room when they did this, but I think what they have done under develop a fiscal plan is that they have put A through E, the five most important things about that fiscal plan underneath it. So I think that was a pretty important part of what they did to further describe the plan. Now, this plan doesn't have a lot of narrative, and other plans we're going to look at does have narrative, which I find really helpful as well. We'll get to the last plan, which is Fort Collins. They had a ton of narrative. It was all pretty concise also, but there was a lot of good narrative in that plan. So this plan doesn't have a lot of narrative, but it does focus in pretty well on the five areas of the fiscal plan that they're describing. So that I thought that was really good. South Ogden, Utah, I included because I know the staff there, and they have made some presentations on strategic planning and goal setting that I've been to, and I know their management team pretty well, and they have been working at it for a long time. The plan that's in here is a few years old. It was done in 2019, previous to COVID. And you can find this plan on their website. That's where I found it. I have seen it before, but you can see it on the website. So they have about 18,000 people, so a little smaller than us. They also expressed in the very beginning of their plan mission and value, vision and values. They have five goal statements, so as you go through this plan. And what I think is interesting about this plan is that they just go right to strategies underneath the goals. And then as you go across the page, if you're on these pages, it goes like this. As you go across the page, they have a project manager or the owner. Owner means the responsible party. That's the person who's being held accountable for this strategy. And then they have resources, and that's other staff or other people assigned to it, a due date, and then progress, which I thought was really a terrific part of the South Ogden plan. I'm not saying we have to have like an interactive progress bar on our things, but I do think that we should include accountability as a concept and decide how the city council is going to hold the staff and the organization and itself accountable to whatever we adopt. It could be a monthly report, it could be part of every council meeting, it could be a quarterly report where we spend a work session on the plan. Whatever it is, I think I'll just express a little bit of, I'll try to be positive about it. But the staff is a little frustrated, and I know the council at times is frustrated that things take a long time to complete. And so we share, if you have some angst about that, we share that with you. And I think that together, this idea of it's either talking about it often or coming back to it and feeling like we owe you a report or an accountability session or whatever it is, I think that should be part of what we adopt. And maybe it's not in the plan, but it becomes part of our structure. So that was a positive thing about this plan, I think, the 2 days plus the accountability. The other thing that I liked about this plan, and this takes a long time to create in the community, but their plan is now transparent, and they have citizens that are really interested in what the council is doing every year with the plan. And so we don't always have that in North Salt Lake. We have Dee, who's our resident interested party at every meeting. And we have citizens who become involved because they're concerned about something in the community. And that's great, but that's exactly how the city should work. But at times, aside from our committees, we sometimes lack community engagement just in the normal routine of adopting a budget, setting a tax rate, having philosophical discussions about how to run the city and how much it should cost and what services you know, we provide. And so I think South Ogden has done a good job 10 years ago engaging their community, and they continue to do that. So that's a robust piece of this plan. Okay, let's go to the next one. Stockton, California, this is really different. And you kind of get whiplash, stop some change directions. We didn't spend too much time on the Stockton plan because I think there's probably a lot more to it. But I really liked how this, and by the way, the one-page strategic plan is a, that comes from a consulting group that has trademarked that. And so Stockton worked with consultants on this, and that's kind of, this is kind of the product that came out of that effort. The thing that, that I liked about the plan, though, is that it's simple. And so it has a simple vision statement, it has an annual objective statement, and it has city council goals. If you look on the left side of this page, it has a little box here, and it has five city council priority goals. But it immediately goes into strategies, and also in categories. So if you look at the strategies, they also are in specific topical areas like safer streets, growing economy, housing opportunities for all, thriving and healthy neighborhoods, and fiscal sustainability. I can see us and our plan having being benefited by putting some of these categories into the plan, maybe. So you could think about that. You know, some of you have housing, some of you have public safety. You know, we can probably find some categories for most of what we do. They also did, so the middle column, which is FY24-25 plans, are also like tasks. So they call them plans, but these are actual bullet points of here's what we're going to do. You know, when you look at some of these, they're going to implement this strategy. They're going to complete a development code overall, or they're going to launch a program. So these are things they're going to do. And then on the right, and this plan has the strongest measuring tools, they have a metrics column. So they actually set measurable goals for themselves. The first one is reduce non-fatal injury shootings and identify impact of ceasefire strategy by 5%. So at the end of their measurement period, they'll be able to look at the data and say, did we reach the goal? Did we not reach the goal? So very simple, simple approach.
One question on the strategies, it says captain.
I don't
happen to know,
actually.
Pardon me?
I don't know what that means.
Do you happen to know, is that a staff captain or a city council?
I'm assuming it's the folks in parentheses next to the category that are going to be responsible for these areas.
Yeah, I just didn't.
But I don't know for sure.
All good.
Yeah. And I have not been through that training. I know of the OGSP training, but I haven't been through it. The last thing I'll say about the Stockton plan, and this goes to community engagement also, but they put together a really nice graph for the public on what we accomplished last year. So, you know, our city accomplishes a ton. As I look at this stuff, I think we really don't tell our story. And some of you have identified that as a priority, as telling our story. And there's much room for improvement in this area. But I thought this was a really good example of how one of the communities did that in just a one page. All right, the last one is Fort Collins. And if some of you got to the Fort Collins plan and you said, oh my gosh, there's a lot of pages to this plan.
Yep.
I had that reaction. But let me try and simplify it for you, because it goes from simple to, it threads its way through the document, and it's really less complicated than it looks. So it's got a lot of nice stuff in it, but if you go to page 7, which is really the first page that has the meat of the plan, this is where the narrative starts, and they explain how the strategic plan is organized and what the reader is going to see in the plan. It also has a very simple, for a community of 170,000 people, they have a very simple mission statement, a very simple vision statement, and then they have some value statements, just some value categories. Then if you turn the page, they have 7 strategic objective areas: high performance government, culture, recreation, economic health, and then they have an abbreviation for those. And those abbreviations follow through the plan. So what happens next? Let's take the first one, for example. High performing government has 4 sort of objectives, HPG 1, 2, 3, and 4. So if you turn the page to page 12, you see more narrative, explanation as to what is high performing government. And then you see HPG 1, 2, 3, and 4 explained with much more information about what those things mean. So I really thought, even though there were a lot of pages, I thought that this had a good organized explanation of what they're trying to accomplish. And so, as I think about these 4 plans, and we don't have to limit ourselves to these 4 plans. If you want to look around, you'll see things. Just using Google, you can see a lot of things that are valuable. But I think this idea of adding some explanation and some narrative as you articulate a goal, or as you say, here's a problem that we want to solve in the community, I think putting some narrative to that is a really great thing for us to do. Especially as you think about staff turnover or council turnover, the more explanation, the more readable it is, the more simple it is to understand, the more likely it is to be carried forward through changes that happen in our organization. So, let me see if I have anything else to say about that one. At the very end of the 4 column, I just want to mention this, the very last, not the appendix. The appendix is interesting, but I'm on page 30 and 31 of the appendix. This was interesting because they have a dashboard on their website, so people can go and they can track, much like the South Ogden plan, they can track progress. And then they have links to other pieces, and their government is large and it's complex. And so they have other tools that they use. They've done studies, they've done analyses, and you can find those. You can click on links to find those in this plan. So ours is not going to be as complicated, but those are interesting. You know, there's all kinds of innovation that is happening in different cities, and I guess I was just trying to illustrate that even a city as small as Kodiak, Alaska, has some innovation as they think about what they want to do, and as complicated as Stockton or Fort Collins, which are big cities. They also have there's simplicity and complexity that exist at the same time. So I think we're capable of doing a really wonderful plan, and that's kind of what I wanted to go over on the plan side. And then I thought we could move into kind of the table of So let me just say, that what we're really moving towards tonight, I think, is trying to determine what we would include in the strategic plan moving forward. This won't be your only opportunity, though, but I think what I'd like to do is go over the table a little bit. Let's see, so this is five of your priorities on the slide. It's also in your what I passed out in the presentation that I gave to you ahead of time. And then Councilman Van Landenwald, yours is on the next slide. We have issues. I just going to say nobody has issues. We all have priorities and stuff. I guess maybe a good place to start would be to let you guys talk a little bit about some of this, and I'll stop talking for a few minutes. We do have an exercise, and I have I've written every priority in the strategic planning objective column. I have put on boards that we will take to the wall, and then you'll have some stickers, some dots that you can come up with. Select, place the dots on the ones you think are the highest priorities, so that out of that exercise we might be able to find out what's most important and what's least important. And you can also add things to, we'll have a blank sheet of paper, you can add additional objectives and priorities. So that's kind of where we're going to end up in this meeting, but I think I'll, so that's sort of brain dumped everything that I think I needed to say. And I don't know, Mayor, if we have, do we have a citizen comment that we want to take? Or, this would be a good stopping spot. I don't
I want to apologize. I can miss everything. But if, I don't want to interrupt. Please stop.
I think this is a good spot for us to stop.
Okay.
So, yeah, come on.
Beautiful view, sunset. Sorry, hopefully the sun's not in your eyes. I'll just be really brief. My name is Dennis, Dennis Allen, for the record.
Address to me.
My address is 25 East Center Street. So you might be familiar with that location. I've been there before. It's like the city hall, it's like right across the way. Hey, so I was trying to think about a funny way to articulate this and make it really kind of interesting. And maybe it would be, but like in light of some of the things that have happened up in Tremont, it's probably not the most appropriate thing. I thought about like, hey, you know, if there was a prisoner of war, and if there was a way that we could help support them and invite your help to kind of free somebody that's imprisoned in the camp. But aside from the analogy and metaphorical funny, sort of kind of not funny, the trees are dying over at the park, and maybe that's on purpose. And it is almost as if we're starving it with water. And I'm not sure what's happening. Last time I came in, and I gave some commentary, but I don't know what the feedback is, if that has been action-oriented, if there's something not been done. But there's been a lot of the neighbor conversation about Hatch Park across the street, of what's the story? Are we allowing it just to die? Are we increasing the heat temperature just for the fun of it? Is there a plan in place? There's a refugee family that earlier this year, every day he's been out playing basketball. And so when we chose to close down the park, the summer has come, school's back in session, but he's not there. And my older brother is a school teacher, so he tried to allow him to have places where he could play basketball. That's what the kids' thing is. So I'm not sure what our plans are with the park. I don't know if we're intending on getting rid of the mature trees, and I don't have the feedback to hear if we're changing plans or not changing plans. But it does feel like a travesty. As we look across, it does look like a prison camp. If I was a tree, we're torturing them by starving. impact on it. So just put it in that way. That's all I have to say. So, okay.
Can maybe want me to take a minute on that question?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have heard from a lot of neighbors. I haven't talked to you about it, but the reason the park has been shut down was because we thought it would be under construction by now. So we're not, unfortunately. Most of the trees will be taken out. Some of the trees won't. And those trees are being watered, and construction will begin within the next 30 days on the park. We've got some delays that I wish we didn't have, but some of those things are just taking time with the groups of consultants doing the work. So I think it looks terrible as well without any work being done. I think it also looks like a prison yard. I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm out there walking around every day too. So. That's unfortunate. If we had known it was going to take this long, we probably would have left the park open for a long time. But anyway, it will be under construction. There is a plan.
On those consultants, are you consulting an arborist or are you consulting?
There's an arborist on our staff. We have three arborists on our staff.
Is Jerry still here? So would you speak to a little bit of the consideration that has gone in directly to the trees? Because it has been talked about extensively, and some plans have been made. I don't know if you want to speak to that. Or...
Sure. You mean why we're losing trees? Why we're going to be taking trees out?
Well, I do want to reassure citizens that when you come and you tell us this matters to you, that it does matter, and staff take it seriously, and they consider it, which they have done. Look specifically at which of these trees could be saved, which are incompatible with the plan. We also have developed an art program that's going to utilize the trees that are going to be felled so that the wood from those trees are going to be bartered as a resource for the artist, as well as some type of project that will be a part of the park using the wood from those trees as well. That kind of feedback, like, and I know Sherry didn't go over and that, so I asked her.
Yeah, so there is a plan. The plan has a ton of trees in it yet to be planted, which I think can be frustrating for residents to take out old mature trees or smaller trees. But it is a heavily landscaped plant. It will be a beautiful park when it's done. It will emphasize trees as tree-lined walkways and tree-lined kind of boulevards, if you will.
Do you think that the city planning committee 50 years ago was the same about it?
I have no idea. The devil's advocate.
Sure.
Because I love the idea, and I think it's a great, and if you guys have done it, I trust your judgment. But I'm also being a real pain in the butt a little bit, and I apologize for it, you can call me that. But honestly, when you're removing these mature trees, a park is normally thought of as a safe space for a mature tree to grow. But then, all of a sudden, green spaces are no longer safe for mature tree. If you're a mature tree, we're going to starve you to death by not watering you. That's great if the plan is there. I'm sure that the planning committee that was planning Hatch Park maybe 100 years ago, 50 years ago, probably said, this is a great thing. And then now we're going to say, oh, these trees that we're going to plant, these newbies, in 50 years. What if the committee then decides that that's a bad idea, let's get rid of the trees then? I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, well, I can't answer for 50 years from now. One priority of this city currently was to expand the park. We're changing the park from 12 acres to 16 and a half acres. We've been working on it for a long time. The park has 28 feet of fall from east to west, and we re-rated, and so those trees won't be able to survive because the we're changing the ground level as we go from east to west.
So I guess I'd just like to point out too, we've hired, so we're not experts. So we went out and hired experts. And this is their plan. And so I think it'd be naive of us to say, well, you know, you're experts, but we feel different.
I agree with you, and I appreciate you doing that, because that is valid. I mean, it is smart to be the experts in it.
those questions. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is honestly to check and double check and triple check, because it highlights other people's website. It doesn't get said, and it's not. This is a big deal, and I've worked in Southern California doing grading plans, doing soil samples, doing architectural designs. Southern California is a nightmare compared to what we have in Utah. I'm grateful for what we have. But some of these things that we're looking at, there could be different designs. Can we have a grading plan that's there? Can we have one here? It's not, it sounds like it's done, and it's well thought through, and I appreciate it. But that's, I just want to bring it up to say that, gosh, this seems like triple D some other way.
It certainly could have been. There could be hundreds of ways to do it. This is the way we've selected.
Can I just say one more thing? When I was, I don't know, maybe 8, I remember driving past Sherry House Park and my mom saying, oh, it'll be years before those trees, or, you know. Well, at 15, I'm at Highland High School, running the park with the football team, and those trees are, you know, so trees grow fast, and time moves fast. And I think we'll have a beautiful park, and I think those trees will be awesome in the short term.
I appreciate you coming, and I called you last night after the game. Speaking of the trees, and appreciate that. We have to put in a place across the street from me, a new pump station. I'm very concerned with the trees that are going to go. I did all I could to save them. I couldn't. I'm on the city council. I can't save the trees. Because they would fit with not so much the plan, but just the land mass, how big the parcel was, and how they had to put this equipment. Every time I looked down there, I watched that tree get torn down. It was a sad day to see that happen. And any time, and I hear you, any time that we cut down a mature tree, it is really sad. And we know the oaks are dying in the United States. I planted two little tiny oaks in my yard to try to bring oaks back, right? So I hear you. But as we said before, they told us these trees have to go. We have, but because there hasn't been construction, we don't know when the digging is. We don't know that they really have to go. And until I saw that pump station get filled in, and indeed it had to cover that spot, I didn't believe it. So there is that loss. And I want you here, even though I'm here.
I'm not here, but it's really awesome. I appreciate you all. I really do. And it was so nice. She called me and she was saying, hey, we appreciate that. And it's part of the perception of, too, when the park is just left fallow and all these things. And then it's also going to other parks because of the necessity of going to some other ones. And they're like, wow, there's walking places, places for dogs. Are we including that? Or are we doing it just to make a tribute to something else? But I'm grateful for you guys considering that in my, doesn't mean that my goals have changed, but I appreciate it.
And one other thing, this is an email from somebody else that I received. I just want to let you know, this is a person who said that the person made a sign from a recycled garage sale sign, and put it out and said there have been other signs on Touch Park taken down. And she's, I don't know, mine's friendly, maybe they were not friendly signs from the friends of Hyatt Park. But she says she hasn't wrapped any trees in bows or made any other signs, but there is a sense that they feel hostility. And I don't know who's taken the signs down, but they feel hostility, that they're speaking out about what's happening at Hyatt Park, and that message is not well received. We cannot let that message happen. We want to hear every day, anytime, the concerns of our residents.
I took the signs off of the Hatch Park fence.
Do why?
Because they were attached to our property. Handwritten, ugly signs. I was getting complaints about them.
So there's a difference in my mind between listening to feedback and allowing them to put signs up on that problem.
I mean, I'm happy to. I'll take pictures of the signs and send them to you guys so you can see
them. Did any of you see the signs? They heard.
Where else are they going to put them? When there's a fence, they...
They could put them in their own yard.
Oh, I see.
I don't know.
So is it... Okay.
Yes, they have the right to say it. Do they have the right to be seen?
And I'm really grateful that you speak up for it. And also repeated that it wasn't even just once. So this really isn't you, and you'll show up second time. And I want you to know that we do absolutely care about it and take it seriously. And in our conversations, when we had the design consultant come, I specifically and other council members said, we want to preserve as many trees as possible. That needs to be a priority in the planning. So that message was given to the consultants early on, even before we knew they were coming.
That would be then the marketing aspect of what you got. So you made the decisions, you thought it through, you brought in consultants, you talked through, say you want to do this, you have a plan that's in place. And maybe that would be the broadcasting part. If it's a lack in the absence of evidence, the absence of evidence is the evidence that there is nothing to be done. If it's not, that's always the thing. How do you articulate that? This has been done.
And we revisited that at the point as well. And revisited, I remember talking to Sherry specifically, like, can you go back and see? Have we saved every tree that we can? And Lisa is the perfect advocate for this issue. She worked on city council to bring our city into a we're designated tree city to the USA. And she led that. And every year we do a tree planting event. And we have a $25,000 in our annual budget every year for new trees planted throughout the city. So as far as I think Martha and Missing is really important, but as far as valuing the trees, you are absolutely in an audience that shares. And we've done a really good job of explaining to residents this is the work we're into consideration that we're in an uncomfortable position where we're not able to save a majority of the trees, at which we are very sad. And this is still where we are.
So, Ken, maybe we could replace those signs with a message from the city. We hear you. These are the things that we have done. Even like the budget, you know, we budget $75,000 a year for trees. We plant trees here. We empathize and hear and recognize. And we're so sorry for the loss of some of these trees, but here are the things that we're doing. And maybe where those signs were on the fence. We can have a really nice, well-run sign that we duplicate throughout the park.
Yeah, we are working on projects
for our mural that shows coming. There's what's coming all along.
Yeah, we have those signs in progress.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
There was a comment.
They think that there'll be lots of pathways for walking or any issues available for people with their dogs.
So right now we don't really have I don't know that we made a decision on dogs. There's not a dog park in the park. So, and I don't know that we've decided whether dogs will be allowed in the park.
Do you mean
half
parks specifically or anywhere in the city?
Well, we've been going on for years in Patrick Park. I can do two laps, get two laps around there, and I just turn keys. Okay? And I can do that because my dogs are pretty big. And I would like to be able to have a place fairly close to their own place anyway to walk our dogs. There are several of us. I know you think this practical, but those of us who are there are very consistent and all the time to pick up other stuff. I know that's a problem, but the schools have hernias and go into cardiac arrest and they walk on their property. And I just, I don't know how to call it. It has some shade to it. There are places where they're just hot and no trees. And it's just something I think the city needs somewhere. Some places, the one in Bountiful, is occupied most of the time with big dogs. Well, that's not a kind of dog to go out and do. So I think there's a need for it, but I don't know how.
as far as a dog park, we are building one on the west side of the city. It's almost done. So it'll be a really great dog park in Legacy, just north of Legacy Park. Woods Cross and North Salt Lake have done that together. That would be a nice park.
We're also looking at the Spring Hill landslide to see, not necessarily in the landslide area, but adjacent property could also be a dog park. And that's closer to where you live. You see people place away? Yeah. So it would be closer there. We're looking into that as well.
There's no question that Hatch Park's going to have a great walking trail. I just don't think we're done talking about whether we're going to allow dogs in the park. At least I don't feel like we're done talking about that.
Can we even just have a, like, I was thinking the other day when we were down there, on that west side where it slopes up to the freeway, and they have the asphalt there, even if they just fenced off that asphalt, along that asphalt part along the west side, and opened that up just so dogs could have a place to run.
Yeah.
No, but full speed. Just that one spot.
Yeah.
Be fantastic. Because I don't know what that, well, this would be later in plans, but that was something I thought was a good probably make the models happen. All right.
Great.
Thank you.
Can I say just something since I'm the public? 50 years ago, when we had Hatch Park, before it was Hatch Park, I don't remember what it was called at the time, we planted trees here and there and everywhere. But unfortunately, the time has changed so that what we want in our new park is really not compatible with what the plans were 50 years ago. And I've been in the city more than 50 years, so I can say I've been here that long. But if you want to put something new in, you have to look at what is there and work around it if possible. I probably have as many trees as my 1 acre property as the whole city does in Hatch Park. But unfortunately, when you do certain things, you have to remove some trees or something else. Trees take a long time to grow. If you're planting a fruit tree, you might as well say, my children are going to reap the product, not me. That what we're doing with the park, hopefully, is going to improve it so that we can all enjoy more of it, and it'll be a better improvement from what it was. And unfortunately, we're going to have to sacrifice some mature trees that won't move to plant some juvenile trees that will take their place in the future. We're not planning this park for tomorrow. We're not planning this park for next year. This is a park that you've got to look at for the next 20 years. And what's it going to be for, and how are we going to use it?
Great. Okay, we're ready to move on. Thanks, everybody, for your comments.
Can I take a moment and share?
You're the mayor.
Okay.
As long as you need to be the mayor.
Can we go with the lines or something? I can sit up there for another 5 minutes.
I think they're motorized. Let me find out.
So one of the things we talked about was having a city model or whatever, and I threw up that gateway to Dave's Cabin. Lest you think I'm really creative, this is the AI attempt here. So I'm just going to read a few of them. If one of them grabs you, say, whoa, yeah. North Salt Lake for Community and Progress Week. Rooted in community, moving forward together. North Salt Lake, gateway to the Great Salt Lake, part of Davis County. Building connections, strengthening community.
Are these mottos or missions? Just clarify. Okay.
North Salt Lake, close to everything, far from ordinary.
A place to call home, community growing. North Salt Lake, small town feel, big city access. North Salt Lake, close, connected, community. Where neighbors become friends. North Salt Lake, Utah living at its best. City life, small town heart. North Salt Lake, strong roots, bright future. Your city, your community, your North Salt Lake. Live here, love here. North Salt Lake, growing together. Community first, always. North Salt Lake, more than a city, it's home. So that was artificial intelligence attempts.
I have one on the North Salt Lake that's centered to us.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
did you write down what he said?
I did about. What did you do about me again?
I did. I really liked it.
Oh, mine is a city where alpha, wealth, and value and belong, enhance quality of life, and meeting the expectations of our North Salt Lake residents, businesses, employees, and visitors.
So I could do the next day on our vision. I did kind of like the.
I think you did though. I think you used some of it.
Definitely close to the, the reference of the city.
But it just comes up.
I like that aspect too. Yeah. Just that sort of
desirable
growth.
Anyway, it was our survey that helped us. Well, AI has its uses, right?
So I feel like there are several layers to the conversation. Maybe we can tackle them one at a time. One of the layers is the process and the outcome, the product that we're seeking. And there's probably a conversation to have just at that level. And then once we have an idea of what we're seeking to create, we can then dive into the content from which we create that item, which is all of the priorities that we brought to the table.
I agree with that. And I also think, though, when I look at four columns, that looks like it's more professional than I had in mind.
Me too.
Right? That was prepared by some think tank with a lot of money to put it together, but didn't even use the same verbiage that we would use in our city.
Also,
that I don't want to have happen.
0% unique.
Absolutely.
But so when we were going through these 10 over, and he's like, this tells us absolutely nothing. So listen to this mission statement and see if it describes any city whatsoever.
Right.
Dedicated to preserving and enhancing quality of life and professionally meeting the expectations of residents, businesses, employees, and visitors. 0% related to any city and the goal of all cities.
Right.
Without any real meaningful takeaway.
That's why it's important that it come here. It be elected representatives, have a vision, and that it's not, we don't shop it out.
Yeah.
We fix this.
Well, I think the four columns one is pretty.
Right.
But I think it's too, you don't read it because there's so much there.
33 pages?
Yeah.
That was my reaction to it. That's huge.
I love the working aspect of the South London with the metrics.
Yeah.
I would love to produce a working document that's a useful document that can be modified each year, but that we're referring to and looking at almost every city council.
Yeah.
And so I like the metrics that real time. And I also love the simplicity of Kodiak. My mind works very analytically, so I just like to see it. I like it to be right there, not so wordy and blah, blah, blah. And so those are kind of two different aspects. But I think it should make a working document that we're using, that we're referring, not a posturing document to say, such a great city, we produced this great form, yes, we outsourced it, and no, we're never going to look at it again, but there it is, so we couldn't. I don't like that.
I like lots of buzzwords.
Buzzwords.
Inclusiveness, sustainability, you know, it's like, okay, what does it mean?
I really like the, I can't remember which one it was, the term focus areas, because it feels actionable. And I think they kind of meant goals. I think that that's the first question for us, is what are our focus areas or goals? And I think regardless of the format, that's maybe question one. For my money, vision and mission is kind of like, yeah, we could spend a lot of time on that to what good end. Motto is a different thing because motto is marketing, and I think there is value in a motto for that reason, but kind of in the marketing space. I think it's a different kind of exercise to market than to do a strategic document.
One of the ideas I had as we were going through these is I think that we're having some general plan creep where a lot of what is covered here and a lot of what we talked about is content that is or should be included in the general plan. And I see the strategic plan as separate from that. So the general plan, we put lots of time and money and energy into doing it, but we don't do it very often. I think that would be a great place to add in that dashboard, to ask for accountability, because we have spent tens of thousands of dollars with consultants to figure out what our general plan is. I see, and what I think is a really high value for the strategic plan, is that it is nimble, it is short, we do it every year, we revisit it every single year, but it allows the city council to be innovative above and beyond the general expectations of the city. How can we create a strategic plan that doesn't talk about we offer great services to the city and make sure our public works does this, and that has to be part of what makes our city fantastic, but I feel like we are missing the innovative ability of a strategic plan, if that's where we put our energy, because I feel like that stuff is already happening, and it should be, and we should continue to prioritize it, but that is covered in the general plan. So in my mind, the general plan is like this foundational operational document for the city. The strategic plan is this high level. We might want to tweak what we're doing in the general plan for this year only, and we want to do a marketing plan. We want to do what are the other ideas that we came up with, and then next year we might have a different piece. We didn't have to change the whole general plan foundation underneath us, but we were allowed to be nimble in the day, like as we live through this process. So I like the idea of simpler, shorter.
And accomplished.
Yeah, or we get it and say, you know what, we changed our mind. We thought it was a great idea to move the cell phone tower in front of the golf course, but it turns out it's a terrible idea and it's going to cost us much money and this is the benefits for us. So we might change our mind and say that's not actually what I wanted to do, but I like the idea of the strategic plan being fast, focused, new, and the general plan is foundational, more mission, more values, but not so much in the strategic plan for me.
You're describing the four disciplines of execution in that book. They talk about that, like that's similar to like your metrics. The 4DX, they talk about a very specific, actionable thing, and it's a whirlwind. If you focus on one thing,
then I had that thought as I looked at somebody's general or this strategic plan. So it's like, well, let's make government more efficient.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to do that. Yeah. Why would that be a strategic plan? So those are kind of low hanging fruit, the bottom rung of the plans. I'd like to focus on maybe three specific things, knock them out of the park.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think with priorities, sometimes priorities are solutions to problems. And they, as you say, they emerge annually,
dynamically,
right? They're organic. And so they are things that one wants to address when the iron is hot, mm-hmm. right? And that's what I like about that. But the other thing about this whole idea is that when we address the problems, we realize that if we don't address it this year, next year that same problem will be repeated. So in other words, it's capable of repetition. And so if we don't get to 16 problems and we get to 5 this year, the next 5 and the next, because it's nimble and because it carries its own weight as we move along.
Yeah. And I think over years, those strategic plans become become the fodder for the next general plan.
Exactly.
What mattered to us for the last 5 years, make sure it's there for the next 10 years if we plan it out.
And the general and the strategic plan survives turnover. Mm-hmm. Even though, because we're every two years, we survive that turnover, you lose those with the knowledge and you bring in new talent, but still the strategies remain. And that is what is so nice. A general plan, as you say, is 10 years. Mm-hmm. And who knows if we'll still be here in 10 years, right?
Yeah, in general plans, they don't implement themselves.
No.
And, yeah. The way to implement a general plan, I think, is to translate it into what are we going to focus on this year.
Yeah.
You know? And so I like the idea of this leads to a general plan, but also implements a general plan, too.
So Ken's gone through and kind of highlighted strategic plan objectives. Should we go through them and kind of come up with three or four?
Were you thinking of a dot game? I'm not putting words in your mouth, I'm just trying to like...
So here's one way you can do this. And you guys have done this with post-it notes and dots and whatever. We don't have to do it this way. I put everything in that column on these boards, on these pieces of paper. If you want to prioritize it visually by each having 12 dots and going up there and putting them on there. It's efficient, and I think when you're done, you'll come away with an idea of what's most important. If you want to just have a discussion, I think you can get to the same place. The dots are quick. It works. I use the dots with our staff because, you know our staff. They're bright, and they're all opinionated, and they love to talk. So I use dots to get them to just be quiet and go do the dot.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that.
Is there ground rules for the dots?
No. You get 12 dots. You put your 12 dots wherever you want.
Is that a summarized reflection of our statements from last time?
These are in the strategic planning column. I put these in that column. If you think that I made the wrong selection for putting something in the column, we have a blank sheet. You can also, in fact, if some of you want to add, we should do that first.
I agree. I sent an email after the fact, and I'll just state what I put in the email, which I wish I had said 2 weeks ago, and it's pretty simple. But we have facility needs relating to public works, and I don't think there's an easy solution to that, but I think it would be a good thing for us to prioritize. And I would just put it on the list as a possibility that people could go up.
Good. You said like the public works building and infrastructure. That's what you said in that email.
Yeah, and I...
Facility.
So facility advocacy for our city.
Yeah. One thing we left last time was after we created our whole list of priorities, we were asked to then come back with 3 to 5 that felt the most important to us. I wonder if it would be a way to go through this process if we each got our own piece of paper and wrote our own 3 to 5 and then put those on the board and then went over and said, which of these do I also agree with?
Do you see your 3 to 5 up there? Because I just kind of did that in my head and then I checked and went, oh, okay, I see my 3 to 5 up there. Because maybe we can add on to that.
Yeah, it got a lot more energy than I thought it could get.
How many dots
do you have? We could do a very tight dot game, like everybody gets 3 dots, and if you don't have yours up there, you can write them.
I have like 200 dots, so you can do it.
And then we could go for that, and then we could like vote on that stuff, you know?
So can I throw in a couple things? So obviously I brought up the bridge. If Horace Engineering has died, if the mayor's up and died, that plan did not work, then obviously shouldn't be part of the strategic plan. And if they say that, I'm ready to walk away. I mean, I did get 2 phone calls this week from people. I just want to let them know I'm sitting here waiting for a train to get
get out of it.
That's why I was late for the record. Waiting for you.
But I think we, you know, we've really looked, we've walked around it 100 times. Very expensive. There's ways to fund it.
Yeah.
But if we can't do, I'd let go of $1,100 totally. If we can't figure a way to do Center Street, I say we're done talking to bridges.
I agree.
That's why we built the fire station. Or that's why we have.
So maybe
we
should have
another. I mean,
if
I. Let's do the dots.
Yeah, but I did get tree plantings on that list. And you got tree plantings, and the 4-10 work schedule is really 5-day city hall.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah. Can we put up, how else do you want tree planting?
Just ongoing funding for the tree planting. That's a priority.
I think we're committed to that.
I know. But it's still a priority.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Is that 5-10s?
No.
The
4-10s, and you have 4-10, and you have nothing to do 4-10s, but every day, city hall is open.
Okay.
So somebody works from Monday to Thursday.
All right, put Chevron on the list.
That city hall is open.
Okay. As long as it's not 8-5.
And keep in mind, if it doesn't
make
it
to
plan, it's still in the works.
Or next year's. Yes. There's still going to be 4 weeks in 4 days.
All right. Why don't we...
And then, Elisa, can you please put highway cleaning on?
Oh, it's all
going
to happen.
I don't know. Oh, pardon me, it's on there. Thank you. Sorry for that. I don't have anything else to add.
Okay, how many dots do we want to
have? Let's do like 10. Okay, well then you can like if something's really important to you, you can like do multiple dots.
All right,
you are 6.
We use it.
Just a t-shirt.
Do we need to
change?
I feel like I'm
a
fantastic job.
I wish my God. Well,
you know,
municipal unincorporated Davis County by a ton of feet. Except for that. It just doesn't make sense.
They opted out. They went to Davis County. So we want out of North Salt Lake. Because we're expanding. And
but we want.
But we'll save a ton of money. But we're out of the city. And Davis County goes, awesome, we'll get the money instead of North Salt Lake. And they just let them out. So maybe the fact that it's all over now, they're finally coming back into the city.
Well, that would be my point would be, I feel like, rather than us as a council on high coming down with the decision, if we're going to take this strategy seriously, we need to put in due diligence to talk to the residents. Because I know a few years ago when we were campaigning, that area was very, very, very adamant. They did not want to have us change. And so I do feel like,
It is truly a cost-benefit analysis from a pollution standpoint, folks. We are getting polluted, but we're not getting any of the tax dollars for it. I'm serious. And it all goes to the county. And that facility is not going away. That'll be a problem in 50 years. Right? But yet, it makes the image of our city crappy. And yet we gain nothing from it.
Okay.
Now, there is one thing about it you could do.
This is our
hypothetically, is there could be some, if the Chevron has to do a major overhaul, major construction, then it opens it back up again and it has to go to the county. So if something happens where they do a major overhaul on the facility, the question becomes right again. Not
so maybe we need to get the county to agree on life. Yeah, we never should have let that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should that be long?
Do you have any specific requests for the next step for this? Because it's already on the action item list. Do you have any, like, staff goals for the next step?
It's on the action item list right now, so the 23. So it will come back.
I'd like us to make progress on it this calendar year. Just decide if we want to. Can we take one step forward or let it go? By the end of the year. It's not concluding it by any stretch. It's just deciding, are we going to advance it or let it go?
We can do that by the end of the
year. Yeah. Okay. Facilities, public works, or others? Anybody want to speak to this before it gets taken off this report? Do you have a strategic plan?
Is that what you talked about? Yeah, I think it can go to the action item list. It could be a component of, I don't know if it makes sense to be part of the general plan, but anyway, I think it can be an action.
Is that a
competitive issue?
Are you talking, are you going to expand the facility and
getting more people? Yeah, I think if there's a, like, developing a game plan, or what are our possibilities?
Do what?
Yeah.
Yeah, or like in the case of the public works facilities already today.
So where can we take that facility action item? And can we have David Branson really own that one? Because I would think who would know better where the future needs of the facility and public works would be than.
And I don't know what our options are on that, so I just think it's something for us to think about whether there are some things we can do that are in our control.
Well, and you know, just the public works building, when I went and dumped my trash on the second Saturday, whatever it was, it is run down. Why is our own public works can't paint the sign on the outside of the building? Those kinds of things. It's usually like, you know, the cobbler has no shoes situation.
It's a fairly new building.
But it's run down already.
Yeah. Well, they wear it out.
Not the sign.
No.
Anyway, it's sort of like it's an afterthought.
Yeah.
Okay, so revisiting any that are five, we're just revisiting any that are five or under, so this one.
Well, people have said we're doing that.
Yeah.
We've already got funding for it.
Okay.
So yeah, that's just done.
This one, as on our top of our strategic plan.
It's been an action item for a good 18 months.
Yeah, when we discussed it in the city council.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe some kind of a.
Never did that. It was one of the.
We could have a skeleton crew on.
I don't even know if work session, I think it was something on race.
Yeah, we brought paperwork.
Oh, it was.
That's right.
Yeah, action that.
I'd be interested in a workable solution.
There is one.
Well, I'm talking about, what do we need on the Friday? The skeleton crew on Friday, what's going to rotate, what, no.
It won't be fair if you don't do it Monday to Thursday, Tuesday to Friday. You will have employees.
But then you're losing the synergy of employees.
Why? They can take a 3-day weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
No, I'm talking about the synergy of having the people work together.
They are, 4 to 10.
3 days a week.
No, 4 days a week, Monday to Thursday, that's the 40-hour week. 4 days a week, Tuesday to Fridays, that's the 40-hour week.
Yeah, but you've got some employees on Monday and some employees on Friday.
So
they have a 3-day work week, basically.
Together. That means you only have a full staff 3 days a week.
Right, that's fine.
Instead of now.
Anyway, I don't know if that's an obstacle or if that's not a way to go.
Yeah.
Is there ever a survey taken on staff here, what they thought?
Yeah. He said, no, I'll quit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I
said, some may quit.
We also monitor.
Of course, not all employees.
Some may quit.
Some may.
Yeah.
I've been told.
Which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tammy, we also monitored. Well, how many calls come in on Friday?
Sure.
Versus, and it was very minimal.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the work support day, so I understand. Yeah. There's people get used to it, and
that's a big deal. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll report back with the council.
I moved city motto over to city identity discussion. That was smarter.
Yeah.
Great. Fire safety plan?
Probably marketing plan, but yeah, anyway, that's neither here.
Well, I connected those two.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
And I know that they're the same. I mean, we can connect them. I think identity and then paying for marketing are probably two different issues, but.
We could easily be having a totally different discussion today about that if something had happened.
Are we on the
fire safety?
Yeah,
we can talk.
So the fire safety. Excuse me. The fire safety plan.
We're about
okay.
Oh. Well,
whatever you do with the fire safety plan, we're working on it, and we will come back to the council.
A question I have about that is, what is our jurisdiction, and what is the subject of fire?
We can
I had a long conversation with Chief Clark that day right there, and we talked about really putting our efforts together on marketing and
education.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot more we could do.
Yeah.
We did have a meeting here in this room a couple of years ago. It was like very low attended.
Well, a year ago we were here. We were here.
Okay.
It was last summer. It was. I think the thing is also, like you mentioned, there's accountability here on this council for understanding.
Yeah.
Like, I asked whether they were opening and closing the fire hydrants, and they said, no, we're not allowed to anymore, so they don't want students to migrate pipes. So they said, isn't that the point to check whether the first place was in this place?
That would be news to me. They've told me not to open them.
Yeah, that three of the firemen said, oh, we can't do that there. And I was like, oh, then do our public works do it? And they said, we put money that they don't. And so, that's.
Something
that
we smell.
So we can see that. I just feel like there's a category on.
I think they increased the frequency of how often they exercise those valves quite a bit just this last year.
But
public works.
Yeah. Because obviously, if the fire department did it and broke something, they would call us to respond. We're doing it.
I'll get you a lot more than that. That's fine.
So I think that's the thing is getting to the bottom. I feel like we have accountability over knowing those.
questions.
Yeah.
Are they exercised? Do we have enough water? Can the pipes handle that kind of stress?
Okay, bridge over the railroad and Center Street. Action item, or do you want to make a case for everybody else?
So, Mayor, I can say something positive, so you don't have to reflect on it. I think if we got an initial opinion from a trusted engineering firm that, yeah, that idea is worth it, it's possible, you know, then I'd say, look, not only would should we have it on the action list, we ought to make it a priority.
I agree.
Yeah.
But it
hinges
on information.
Though. Brigham City's doing that.
We've contracted with an engineering firm, and they're supposed to get back to us on something, but
we're sort of finished.
Yeah. We're not really waiting.
But we had, it was the grant that we got.
We're not really waiting for them. They've given us. They're waiting for us to tell them.
Well, I'd like to explore the. Because if we could do something in the Main Street, that is so much better for our city.
The last feedback I gave Warrox was that our city was not going to do the half mile bridge.
Yeah,
that's right. That was our position.
That's right. Yeah.
Did they ever look at that idea?
No, we haven't. So I will now. So we have this.
So the action can be explored at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll talk to Warrox.
So it's
like
an initial
an initial feasibility.
So I'm just skipping over any that are they're under 5.
To me, that's economic development. Just it's happening all the time.
Okay, great action item. The trail plan is already happening.
Yeah.
I would love to talk to you and already write it at any point where I can come pitch the case for the certain trail. Okay. Sustainability. You want to make a case?
I think it's a category and it probably should be unpacked and like discrete components come forward that might be of mutual interest across the council. So
yeah.
I think let's just go with that I think we should discuss it, but I think we should discuss it in bite-sized pieces.
Do you want to see an action item that gets revisited? And maybe the action to the staff talks about this
in my I'd love to have it be a work session agenda. And then we get batted around in a work session.
Great.
Got it.
Okay, improving quality. So that brings us to all of the ones that are lower than 5. So remaining priorities are public swimming pool, animal beautification, and entrance into the park, which I think is very related to. Housing plan, use of RDA funds and policy statements, city app, and city identity marketing plan, which I think are connected but might be a high level and then a task item. So, is that enough? How many of that?
So you just number them as 1, 2, 3, 4.
With quality of USA 9, are we talking about
housing
commercial, or are we talking about beautification, or are we talking about? So we're not talking about quality of usability.
There you go.
Commercial. We're talking about street lights.
I think you could break it down all. But to me, beautification is the future part.
Because I'm just wondering, because at least it's an annual beautification and quality of the 89 could be the same.
Yeah.
But I think beautification should be citywide considered. And also, I was thinking, when I was thinking of 89, I was thinking of zoning and cook and, yeah. I was thinking more commercial. I wasn't thinking trees and street lights, which I didn't think we need.
This is true.
But maybe we should clarify that everyone has an idea for that. Okay, so we have 6. Is this one of them for our class of group?
What are you pointing at?
To me, I would think we need to explore location. If there's not, if we don't have a location.
So action item?
It's been a long time.
Does that look fair?
It's
Good one.
Is that an LG?
Is that very what you have heard this time?
I just don't know where
we put it. Oh, that time, sure. I mean, I would love to have it one day.
I don't know where we put it. That's pretty.
No. My backyard.
Yeah, it's backyard.
I'm happy with it.
And that Chevron put their pool back in.
Yeah.
Oh, because
did I take it out?
The Chevron had a pool.
I know.
I took my old law firm had a party there one year.
Yeah.
It was
I swam in that pool.
That was horrible.
There is a branding question.
Can we incentivize?
Do we go for the, do we embrace the name? We've got away from the name.
Yeah.
Honest question.
We have a lot of really old and odd.
But it, most pressing, I mean, it's, there's
sorry, market. I missed that. There's two conversations.
Oh, I was just saying with 89, I think we have a problem because we have a lot of old and really odd structures. And so also part of the quality of 89 and our city center is what can we do zoning and incentivizing commercial-wise as the business pulls out? Can we require that a new business not use that same old weird house that was from the 1800s and turn it into yet another, you know, just how much control and influence can we take in just improving the quality of our Main Street? Because right now it's very disjointed. What was that?
How much money you got?
Yeah.
Well, right. And so what tools do we have at our disposal? Do we have incentives for in other ways than just money? Because we wouldn't be building it. It would be commercial.
So can the couple of, maybe all of your strategic plan examples they had, whether it was a goal or a focus area, then they had, they broke it down into component pieces.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about these five is that there's lots of different things that could happen under each of those.
Yeah. Right.
And so, you know, identifying whatever, the five under each, and maybe a rough prioritization of those items, I think that could be really helpful.
They really could be commitment statements that you make, you know, to what you want to do. What do you want to do under this one? And what strategies would you say in the next 12 months, this is what we're going to do? And there's maybe three or four things you want to do.
Yeah.
I thought it's, oh, sorry.
No.
I was just going to jump to three and say, to me, that's an action item. It's like, do we want a city advocate that's forgotten?
Do we have a what?
Mm-hmm.
I see, yeah.
It's an action item.
Oh, no. I think it's a big, big priority. And the reason what I do...
Well, I'm a priority now.
Are you saying it's because it's going to happen anyway?
Or if we just say...
I mean, like, it's already moving forward?
I don't know if it's moving forward, but it, to me, it's like...
It's kind of a do or not.
Yeah.
We get one or we don't, but there aren't a lot of sub-categories. Either we look at three different...
I think there's, I can see it that way. I think there's a lot of questions in my mind about what are we trying to achieve with this? How much would it be? Like, what are the pathways?
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what I don't know.
And if we build a bridge, do we need a road?
Right.
Okay, so what you're saying, jury's still out on that one. How comprehensive it is.
I mean, I think there's an upside, but I don't understand the cost.
Yeah.
There's a lot to explore here.
Yeah.
I mean,
the only place to start is what do we want to accomplish?
And if we put it on it, because
you can do a strategic plan, like, how many do we want to
build?
Absolutely.
And maybe we don't. Maybe if it comes back, it's horrifically expensive. Maybe.
Well, but then we have to look at what the bubble said. Didn't we have city out
there? It made the list, there's no doubt.
And is Salt Lake moving forward on their notifications on the train rail schedule?
I have to ask John, he's kind of doing research on it, so I don't know. I'm assuming, so. They have six at grade crossings that are harassing the residents of Salt Lake City. So I would guess they're doing something.
That's the upside of the app to me. Because I think the city does a really good job on the website, and yet almost people don't check it.
For almost nobody, I think, I would say it's 10% or less of the population looks at the website.
Well,
but you have to look at their phones. Oh, from over. Well, but you have notifications on. And even just, I don't know, opening your app, which is your web server, typing in the address, searching the website to get things. Slows it down. I'm a big supporter of the app, but also one vote.
If people sign up for it, if they download it, it could be a great tool. if they don't.
If they told about the railroad, everyone, I think that's it, west of the railroad, they signed up, our name for it.
Okay, so I've gotten a lot of great feedback from the council today. I really have. I think I've gotten great feedback on what your plan might need to be, what it shouldn't be, which is too long, but that it should be, you know, a real clear, simple articulation of what you want to do. The one thing maybe we haven't answered, seems like you would like it to be an annual exercise. Do you want it to be an annual plan, or do you want it to be a two-year plan or a three-year plan, but you still go through the annual review, or that's one question that I have.
1 year.
1 year at a time.
I'd go for every other year. Just, you know, because there's council turnover at that kind of level.
But if something's not completed and it really matters, it can stay for the next year.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like the idea of 1 year but revisiting and using that as the framework for the next year, but revisiting it every year.
Great. Just not from scratch.
I think from here, I can kind of take these five and build some questions for the council so that we can, all together, we can sort of focus on what these really are and what they mean. There's a lot of substance here that, and I just gather that this takes in a whole bunch of things. And so I think working to define what these five really mean to you all would be our next kind of step, and then we can get closer to the structure of the document and trying to adopt something maybe in the next 3 council meetings or something. 30 to 45 days. I think we could do it.
I would like to request that with our number 2, which might be 2B. maybe it's 3.
Can we just number them sequentially?
There's a lot there as well because we have this large amount of funding, and I imagine it's going to be a lot of work to come up with on all of our parts, especially staff's part, to come up with maybe 2 programs, like whole programs. That might be a lot of work, right?
This is this seems complicated because we haven't talked about it much. We've done a lot of work on it, and I think that between Heidi and I and Sherry, we can really have an effective work session with the council in the next couple of weeks on this one.
We know
a lot about this one because it's staff.
I know a lot about it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because I did some stuff for small communities. Uh-huh. And so it is doable. Small towns can do it, big towns can do it.
There's a lot of information resource for us.
Yeah.
So we can figure that out. This one is a lot more mysterious to me. And maybe this one needs a lot more vetting with you helping us. These are not super difficult either.
Can I add one other thing under city identity? It didn't actually show up on this list, but I do think we've got to, under that, address the mission of the new annexed area, which is they want to stay bountiful, but they're in our side.
Yeah, it's on the action items. We have it.
Oh, we do?
On the action items, and we're looking at it. Okay. So that one is going to get done.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I want to add then to the city identity. One thing that I think matters, it reflects part of what I talked about, but also I think it's reflected in these other strategic plans that we reviewed, is this idea of connection to the city. And I think that probably goes under city identity. And we've talked so many times over the years about people feeling connected to the city and disconnected from site to
site in the city. In the plans that we talked about, like in Fort Collins, they have a section that was called Neighborhood and Community Vitality. In Stockton, they had one called Thriving and Healthy Neighborhoods. In the South Ogden, they had community engagement, was their goal, where people can work and serve together while feeling connected to and valued by the city. And the last one, they had a section called engagement. That was actually the first one, looking at kind of early development of opportunities to engage. But the connection to the community is something that we've talked about so many times. I think it's reflected in city identity. But when you think about a strategic document, I wonder if that word should be a part of it. Like, how do citizens connect to the city? How are we connected to the city? How are they connected to each other? I'd like to see that. That word, the word community, the word neighborhoods, like what it means to live in a city and feel connected to your city. So people who love their city feel connected, what does that look like? What does that look like? That's what I want to do for our city for next year.
Okay. And we're just serves city, right?
No, we're talking about that.
Well, you'll see a resolution coming.
Because I think that people feel most connected when they serve. Mm-hmm. And they serve side by side, and it doesn't matter what neighborhood they came from at the end of the city, they're serving, and then they get connected.
I will tell you that, and I work with a lot of the committees, a lot of our committee members expressed to the staff that they had no idea the city had needs, that it had concerns, that it had unfilled projects and things like that. You know, I don't know, Heidi, you're on the arts committee. It's something that's getting renewed focus now. And thank goodness it is, because you guys are doing great. Health and wellness is one where we've had people come express really important concerns about the city. Planning commission's here represented a little bit. So anyway, I do think I think the average resident, when they come and they learn about the city, there's always this awakening of, wow, there's a lot to do here. There's a lot of needs. There's a lot of things that need attention, and that's a good thing that people learn. So,
when I look at this list, my mind goes back to the general plan, and here's where I'm going. Number 1, 2, and 3. One might think of those as helping to shape the general plan, possibly. So let's take the housing plan. There's like 10 different ideas of what we could do in housing that are, there's some threads. We have some agreement threads, but there's like a lot of like, no, let's do this, no, let's do that. And I think it'd be useful if we identified, okay, so what are our objectives and what can we agree are the things to work towards within housing. Housing is a category. It doesn't tell us what we want to do. And the general plan on some level is advancing a housing plan. I don't know. Maybe I'm just asking for it to be intentional that we think about the connection. And I don't know, it might be a timing question, but if we know that the general plan is going to be done in X, we might ask ourselves, let's jumpstart the identification of objectives in the housing arena so that it can be reflected in the draft of the general plan. You know what I mean? That's an example. And then I'll be more brief on the Highway 9. Maybe coming out of this, we say to the team that is working on it, sharing consultants, hey, can you make sure that there is a focused section on Highway 89? You know?
Yeah. Can I ask a question you came in with? The money, the RDA money, those funds, can they be used to improve commercial structures? Or does it have to be residential?
The housing piece has to be connected to housing.
Mm-hmm.
residential.
So that, to me, that was a way to maybe improve high rating.
We have funds, the redevelopment agency has funds aside from housing that could, that are very flexible, that we could use to do some of the things you mentioned. If we wanted to work with some buildings and some property owners to redevelop properties, we have funds for that. So we, I think there's a lot to this, but it's not unrelated to RDA funds, just because the RDA covers higher than that. So there's some opportunity to match present.
So I have a question about number one. I think this matters to all of us. And I also think we have plans in place and projects that are already going that are accomplishing this. So are we anticipating we're adding something additional that would mean this is why it's part of our strategic plan? Or is it just reflecting this was already our priority and so we're already doing it, but it came to the top of the list because it matters to us already? I'm just wondering, what is the value of having number one on there? And what are we going to do different because it's on our list that we weren't already doing?
This is more just brainstorming based on your question. It could be that we take a step back and we ask ourselves, what are the most important or most impactful ways that we could beautify the city? And we come up with a game plan based on a fresh prioritization. I'm just thinking about it.
And to take a step further, a year from now, we can evaluate, okay, how do we do? Where we've been talking to generalities for years. There's something that's there we can measure.
I also think if these end up being your strategic plan, you know, objectives, it's an expression that these are the most important things to this council right now. Not that things, other things take a back seat. Those tasks on the action items, they're going to get worked on. But this has now become a clearly articulated objective of the city council with strategies and initiatives underneath it that you're going to measure yourself against, you're going to measure the staff against, you're going to really make progress on. You're going to allocate funding for it immediately, that kind of stuff. So it's a little different in the sense of urgency and importance than the action items. And the action items are kind of, you know, we slog through them and we put them on the calendar, we say, okay, we report back on this date, and, you know, staff does a lot of research or whatever they have to do. And those kind of get, they just kind of go on a conveyor belt and they get done. That's more of a weird. But this is a little bit different in my mind. This is kind of a...
I think some of these are, you know, they already got legs, and there's already some definition. I think one and two work in that space. And it might be more, like for two, it might be more like, let's just make sure that we get the stuff over the finish line. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or that we go beyond the finish line of identifying what we want to do when we start thinking about when do we fund. You know what I mean? So, it's a dance.
Anything else?
Do we want to flesh out anything number five? That feels like the biggest and most ambiguous to me.
Why don't you let me work on this on all these and give you guys
some questions? Do we have another plan to join this?
We don't have anything planned, but we could set aside some time in the work sessions or whatever. Or you can always set aside another, kind of take my lead for a new bit. Yeah, I think if I have a couple of weeks to kind of set noodle for a while, I will noodle on these. And we'll, I think I can put together some copies for the council to kind of flush out what this means. And you can put some substance to what you said.
So, can we anticipate that this strategic plan if you needed the board and be great for the year?
Yeah,
great.
I would think so. Especially, I think this was a hard thing to get to. For me, it felt like it was, I wasn't sure how we were going to get to it. Thanks for taking the lead on the role. But I think now that we have kind of your objectives, I think we can go to work on it. Hope you get there. Thanks for letting me give you so much homework.
Thank you. Thanks for giving us
so much
homework. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, folks, before we go adjourn the meeting, I would like to go into a closed meeting. And I'm going to make a motion to go into a closed meeting to discuss personnel matters.
Do I have a second? Roll call vote.
Aye.
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 Okay.
Who seconded? I'm sorry.
Elise.
Now, I know we don't have a recorder. I mean, I don't want you to have to stick around. Do you want one of us to turn the tape off?
Well, we're not going to record.
We're not recording personnel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't. That's good. Okay, you don't record personnel.
So we'll just need to know what time you're
coming. But you'll have to have the statement signed by the